Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Ugrafot 24 podcast. A big thank you, as always, to Stell at Shoot the Defence for giving me the platform to get my messages out to the wider community. And a special thanks tonight to Ignite Football Academy for sponsoring this episode. This is our second episode of our Welcome to Scotland series, and today I have come all the way up to the far north of the country, and I'm talking to Dale Pride McDonald of Ross County. Good evening, Dale. It's great to have you with us.
Adam, how are you? Are you okay?
I'm grand, mate. I'm absolutely grand. I'm looking forward to this. How's everything up there in Dingwall?
Well, we're quite lucky, Adam, in that, you know, we're what's classified right now as a Tier 1 area. So, you know, we've actually had fans back in the stadium. We've got a little bit more freedom. It was quite interesting for us. We were down at Kilmarnock on Saturday, who are a Tier 4 area now, and seen the complete different dynamic geographically of how COVID is still affecting the various regions. Is really, you know, it's tough for people down there. But we're just counting ourselves lucky that, you know, we're still in the position we're in as a Tier 1 area and the ability that we have on a day-to-day basis.
It's been great to see. I noticed a few weeks back when you started to get the supporters back in. And, yeah, it's going to be a great chat tonight. Of course, Ross is the team I first become aware of back in the 90s, and I'm showing my age now as it came out of the Highland League and became a professional club in Scotland, joined the Football League ranks. In what's football like up there? Because as somebody that's never visited the Highlands, is there a real passion for the game up there?
There is. You know, I'm very lucky that from a very young age, I've been involved in football at various levels in the Highlands, from, you know, youth football to Highland League football. And now I'm very grateful and very thankful every day to be involved in Premier League football. You know, I'm originally from a small village about an hour north of Dingwall where Ross County are based, called Brora, and we have Brora Rangers who were crowned Highland League champions last season, and I was involved in there for a number of years, and it's probably great testament to those guys that every club in the Highland League over the past, say, 20 years, the Highland League has gone from strength to strength. You know, when I was with Brora, we were 15 minutes away from joining Ross County in the professional leagues of Scottish football through the new playoff pyramid system that was coming back in. It wasn't to be, but Cove Rangers have gone on and done it from the Highland League and have made it now to League One. Hopefully they'll make it to maybe the Championship next season. But I think it just shows that there's not just an appetite for football in the Highlands, but there's a desire and a determination for football in the Highlands to be on the map. And I think nothing probably defines that clearer than Ryan Christie playing for Scotland last week and doing so well for Scotland, getting us to our first major championship in 22 years. And I noticed even a lot of the Ross County fans, although he's a Cali Thistle player born and bred, were very positive towards Ryan and what we'll call that interview. And I think, you know, we've got to be the ones that go out there and promote our own game in the Highlands, because there's a lot to shout about.
Oh, definitely, yes. Am I right? You were involved with Brora Rangers earlier on in your career?
I was. They say every wrinkle tells a story, so it probably describes the side. Brora's a very different, all the Highland League is a very different setup, as I'm sure you can imagine, to where I'm sitting right now in Ross County. You know, the Highland League, it's all volunteers. It's semi-professional. You know, everyone is digging in to work for each other. I was lucky enough to cover most jobs within the club, from washing kits to doing gates to being their media officer, if you can call it that, at Highland League level, to being the match day announcer, to coaching with the young kids as well. So I was very, very fortunate, and I'm very thankful for everyone that gave me the opportunities at Brora to do what I managed to achieve there, because it's given me the platform to go on as a person, you know. Brora had probably a very, very tough period when I was first involved with him. Money was extremely tight, and there was probably times where people wondered if the club was going to go on. But thankfully, to to the great work of the people there, and a special benefactor that came in with a substantial sponsorship for the club. The club was able to reconfigure, begin to win championships, begin to win. And as I say, 15 minutes away from being in League Two in the first year of the playoffs. So I'm very, very fortunate for the time I had at Barora. It's somewhere that is still, you know, always going to be strong in my heart. I was up there doing commentary for a couple of their games recently, and, you know, you can't help but when you walk through the gates have a smile on your face.
I can imagine. I can imagine. You must get a great sense of pride every time you're up there.
Some of my family's still up there. So, you know, when we're not in lockdown, I'm up there a fair bit. And, you know, it's one of those things, you never drive past the stadium without thinking of a specific memory. Funnily enough, you know, we had the manager of Brora in here doing Ross County TV for us a few weeks ago. And it's great just to see Stephen and speak to Stephen, who's had a massive impact on the club. And, you know, it's these things that you grow up with them. You know, I feel like a huge part of my childhood was with Brora. Probably the one thing I identified with the whole way through my life was football. And the people there have been absolutely fantastic. John Yang, who is now the honorary president of the club, was the man who basically held my hand through my younger years when I was at Brora. You know, it was, Dale, go and do this, Dale, go and do that. And Dale, you do it, you know. It's the same as, you know, when you're young, you go and work in Tesco's, and it gives you the grounding of where you're going to go when you grow up, and gives you that basic principles. That was exactly the same. Brora gave me the principles of knowing how to operate within a football club. And if it wasn't for those people, and if it wasn't for the opportunities I was given, I wouldn't be sitting at Ross County right now.
Mm-hmm. It's great to hear. You know, it's, for me, that's the sort of the fundamental value of any football club in the community. Talking about that, you know, what sort of role does Ross play in the community there in Digwell?
Well, it's quite complex in nature, because it's not just Digwell. You know, the Highlands is the equivalent of an area the size of Belgium. Around to be with that audience. So, you know, for example, our community team, who are led by Gordon Duff, do an absolutely incredible job of reaching out to those people on a, you know, a quarterly basis, a monthly basis. You know, we have camps that run in the Western Isles and Orkney and Shetland, which are so remote to where even Inverness is, let alone the Central Belt. And we've got to be grateful that we have the staff that are willing and able to go out and deliver to those people so often. You know, we were very, I was involved last year in what we called the Roscoe Route 400, which was a bit of a take on the tourist route here called the North Coast. You know, and we went away to different towns, different villages, different areas, you know, from as far north as Wick, which is probably, you know, almost 2 hours from where I'm sat right now, to all these different areas to connect with our audience, to connect with our fans, the people that care about us, to try and increase the exposure of football more and more. And again, we're very fortunate that, you know, we're not a big team at Ross County. We don't have endless resources in terms of personnel. What we do have is an incredible spirit, an incredible hunger, and an incredible desire to go and meet our audience on their own patch, and to go and try and deliver consistently for our audience.
Oh, that's great. That's great to see. And how's the season been going so far for you?
You know what? The season has been completely different to any other. And I think most clubs will say that. You know, it's for us, although we've had 3 games with fans, it's still been an extremely strange period in terms of, you know, not having fans in a stadium, having all protocols and procedures to follow at every venue, seeing how every away game is going to operate with the different processes and procedures that clubs have in place. So, you know, it's been very interesting. It's been very eye-opening. It's been probably, again, touch wood, it's probably been easier for us, given the area we're in. Mm-hmm. But we've had to adapt like every club has had to do, you know, and we've had to look at ways and means certainly from my perspective, of how we communicate to the audience that can't come to the stadium. We've done a big process in trying to convert a lot of our fans more online, more e, let's call it. You know, so we're trying to convert a lot of people onto our online shop and onto our email marketing database and improve our data capture. And that's been a huge part of what we've tried to do over the past few months. We've also launched a Staggies Army, which has been incredibly well received. You know, we are not a club that sit here and say, you know, we've got 5, 10, 15,000 supporters. We have a very small fan base, but we have a very passionate fan base. And to start a membership scheme like we've done with the Staggies Army was a very big challenge during a lockdown, a national lockdown. So we've had fans that have maybe, in some cases, doubled their financial input into the club by not only buying their season ticket, but joining the Staggies Army as well. And it's been, for me, looking at it from the outside, you know, I was never a Ross County fan. Mm-hmm. You know, I was given this incredible opportunity. And, it, you know, sometimes when you think about what our fans have done for us during this period, it leaves you with a real lump in your throat, because nobody and no club has been immune to the effects of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Every club at some level or stage has had to make the most difficult of decisions, the most difficult of calls, you know, and affecting people's livelihoods. And that's, you know, when we're talking about how's this season been, this is probably where we look and we say, without our fans, things could have been so much worse.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And we've seen a few horror, you know, really sad stories going on around, well, the world, you know, people, so many jobs have been lost and the like. I'll touch on one second, because you mentioned about having the fans in for those games. What sort of protocols did you have to get into place to welcome the supporters in? I mean, I think it's probably relevant today. The news has just come out in England that fans are going to be allowed back in next month, I believe.
Well, I'm kind of going to blow the Ross County trumpet, Adam. a lot of people don't realise, or have maybe lost in translation, that Ross County were the first club to test our players and management and squad in Scotland. We were the first club to return to training. We were the first club to have a test event with fans, and we were the first club to now welcome fans back in what we call return to supporters. And the process for us has been probably, you know, having been at other grounds, especially in the past few weeks, we have a very easy ingress and egress platform to get fans in and out of the stadium. So, you know, it's not a huge capacity stadium we have, which has probably made it easier for us. But a lot of people have put in a lot of hard work to ensure that that is done in such a safe manner, from how people collect tickets. So tickets are obviously allocated. We did it by ballot. They have to collect tickets specifically for that game. When they arrive, you know, it's staggered arrival times, staggered entry times. It's probably exactly what you would expect to see, what you would expect to see on the tin, you know. The first game we had as a test event was against Celtic, and we had 300 fans in it. We went with the rugby model, and rugby had a test event a few weeks before us. And it didn't really include households, it was by individual. So everyone had to have the social distancing, whereas now, in the past couple of games we've had, we've gone by family pods. So if people are in the same household, they can sit together. So it might be a 3, and then a 1, and then a 2, with social distancing in between the 3, the 1, and the 2. So, listen, it's far and beyond me to really say I've had any involvement in this bar. Mm-hmm. This project of getting fans back in has been led by our safety and our COVID officers. It's great testament to our commercial team that have sorted out the ticketing process and the mapping of the stadium for the games. But we believe, and you know, I know we were speaking before this about Stephen Ferguson, our boss, who is the CEO. Stephen did, I think it was about 16 interviews before the game, his return of fans. And I can only echo what Stephen said, in that we're more than comfortable with having 300 fans in the stadium now. It's about the progression. And you've said there about, obviously, Boris Johnson's come out today and says that they're going to look at 4,000 limit. I'm not saying we would have 4,000, but it would be nice for us now to progress, you know, maybe 600, 700, to again raise the bar and try and test ourselves again.
Fingers crossed there. You mentioned a little bit there about Roz TV. Is that something where the fans have really been able to latch on to during the pandemic?
So this is probably where you'll get a bit more out of me, because this is something I've had. To be fair, I think our chairman would probably agree with me when he told me that we were going to do RCFC TV. I think my hair went a shade grayer for a week. I have to pay homage to a very unique group of people that I've been able to work with on the project. You know, the whole process effectively is almost outsourced. We work with a company who deal with the streaming side of it and a company who deal with the presentation side of it. Our fans have, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that it's been without issue and it's been without a few teething problems. It has had its teething problems. But I personally have picked up the phone myself to as many fans as I possibly could to say, how can we fix the problem? Mm-hmm. And rather than hide behind a screen and say that, you know, well, go and contact the support desk, you know, you've got to have that ability to phone a fan and say, look, what's the issue? How can we solve it? I want to solve it for you. And we've been lucky with that. The coverage itself has been nothing short of fantastic. And it's been led by an incredible producer in Stephanie Smith. We've had the luxury of having Rory Hamilton and Stephen Cragan, who will be well known to your Scottish listeners from Premier Sport and BT. And those guys have been just flawless to work with, along with Jamie Lyle, who is part of the BBC and various other outlets. So, you know, working with that team of four people, Jamie, Stephen, Rory and Steph, it's taken a huge burden of the pressure off me. But I probably, and I've said this to them on numerous occasions, I never expected them to be as invested in it as they have been emotionally. Mm-hmm. And to see that what they want to get out of it as much as what I want to get out of it, that's really humbling as well.
It's great to see. I say, Ross TV was something that I've really noticed on, you know, on the internet presence of it. And it's something that's always popping up on my news feeds as I'm flicking through various social media sites all the time, which is, you know, it's a testament as someone, I'm quite distant from Ross myself, but I still am aware. It's something that I'm aware of in social media land, which, you know, say it's been excellent work to watch. Moving on, though, what's it like having a rival so close? I mean, maybe they're not rivals. You can tell me more on this. But having Cali Thistle so close to you, what's the banter like between the two clubs?
You know what? See over the years, as you know, I would class myself as an outsider to it, because as I say, I was never involved with either Cali or Ross County growing up. Did it enhance Scottish football? 100%. I think the more you look at Cali Thistle and Ross County and what they've achieved in the past 25, 26 years since they both came into the professional leagues has been nothing short of remarkable. Nobody expected Ross County to win a league cap. Nobody expected Inverness to win the Scottish Cup. You know, and for both clubs to be able to say that they've done what they've done, you know, regardless of what happens going forward, a bar was set, you know, and some of the Highland derbies that I've watched on the telly or been in a stadium watching have been absolutely outstanding, you know, and our manager right now, Stuart Kettlewell, has probably embodied what a derby should look like. You know, he was never shy of putting a foot in, and, you know, to me, I think it's also great that a lot of the players that made those Highland derbies, you know, and from probably 2009-10 onwards, made them what they were, still live in the area and still involved in Highland football. and have had a profound impact on the journeys that the clubs have taken. And, you know, again, you're looking back at Stephen Ferguson, our CEO, who was involved in some of the early derbies in the SPFL years when both clubs were coming through the divisions. And again, if you look back at footage from those games, they were equally as entertaining, equally as you know, enjoyable to watch as a neutral as well as a fan of either club. And, you know, I would love to see Cali back in the Premiership with us. And a lot of people say that you know, you want your rival beside you because it makes you more money. To me, it's not about the money factor. It's about the entertainment value. You know, my role as the brand development officer, my role is to predominantly try and entertain an audience. And the best way you can entertain an audience is by having your rival beside you. And again, I think it's probably testament to, you know, everyone that has been involved in the journeys of both clubs. You know, we're very lucky in that our chairman here at Ross County, Roy McGregor, has been involved here almost from day one of when we came into the SPFL and has taken us on that journey. And both clubs have taken different ones. But ultimately, for me, I think the best thing for Highland football and for Scottish football is to have both teams in the Premier Division fighting it out.
Oh, I agree completely. Moving away, though, from the Highlands, when I talk to people from clubs in the south of Scotland, they quite enjoy some of the away days in the north in particular. Are there any grounds or clubs that you particularly enjoy travelling to if you travel with Ross or if you've been on your own behalf?
To be fair, normally I travel on the bus with the team. And, you know, again, I've been very, very fortunate in that aspect. You know, there's no denying that going to the stadiums like Celtic Park and Ibrox are brilliant. But for me, it's not always about the stadiums, it's about the people. And, you know, anyone that knows me will tell you I'm a people person. I love dealing with and speaking to different people. And, you know, this year, probably media officers, brand officers, marketing officers, whatever you want to call us, we've all had to become that little bit closer to bounce ideas off each other, to learn from each other, to look at how we were going to operate things together and as individuals. And, you know, for example, we were down at Kilmarnock on Saturday, and Scott McClement, who is the media officer there, is somebody that I have an incredible amount of respect for. Grant Russell at Motherwell, another one that I have a great amount of respect for. But, you know, one of the people I like seeing the most is wee Derek White at Livingston, who, you know, has become a very, very good friend of mine. So for me, it's not necessarily about the stadiums that you go to. It's about the people that you meet on the journey and people that, when you need them, are on the other end of a phone. And that's what, you know, you could turn up at any stadium and say, yeah, it's brilliant, or nah, it's naff. But people have the ability to change that, and it's the welcome, and it's the how you're made to feel. And, you know, you learn the people that you can trust and the people that you can rely on.
You think that's one of the sort of the bonding characteristics in the Scottish leagues, is a warm welcome that's sort of guaranteed, a friendliness there, almost a fraternity amongst the clubs?
In some cases, not all. listen, I'm a very upfront and honest you know, in the Highland League, when I was with Brora, everyone knows everyone, and you build those relationships and you grow those relationships. In the Premier League, I probably found it slightly different. Some people are maybe a bit more, you know, want to keep themselves to themselves and maybe don't want to have those conversations. But, you know, I'm an open book. People, you know, there's people that will phone me from other clubs and say, Dale, you know, what's your take on this? What are you doing about this or that? And, you know, I always find that you give a little, you get a little. And, you know, for as much as you know, people might not want to hear your take on something, sometimes you need to just listen to it because you might not know when you'll need them. So, you know, from my perspective, as I say, I can reel off 6-7 people that within the Premier League that I know I could pick up the phone and say, look, I need your help with this, or I need some advice on this, and it would happen. On the whole, you know, everyone is welcoming. That's Scotland. It's not just Scottish football. Let's be honest, it's Scotland. You go into a pub, someone's going to stand and speak to you. You go to a football club, someone's going to speak to you. You go into Tesco and you kind of get out for half an hour because someone's speaking. So, listen,
It's very true.
From my perspective, Adam, you know, you take everything at face value in Scotland, you know, and I love my job and I love the people I come across. You know, everyone has a different character, everyone has different pros and everyone has different cons.
I have to agree with you completely there. I mean, I've contacted a lot of clubs in Scotland and everyone's always been very welcome and supportive. And it does compare, sadly, with some of the attitudes you may face south of the border, but we won't go too deep into that one.
Well, I have to do a wee bit of disagreeing there because... During the past couple of months, I've been reaching out to a few of the English clubs off my own back to try and, you know, bounce ideas off guys at some English clubs and see what they're doing and how they're operating. And everyone I've found has been probably a lot more welcoming and open than I thought they were going to be. You know, from my perspective, I think, you know, contacting people at certain clubs are probably opening the message and thinking, who's this guy? Why do I want to speak to him? But everyone's been absolutely first class, so... Touch wood, it stays the same because I'm getting a lot out of it.
Fingers crossed. Oh, that is good to hear. Well, final couple from me anyway. It's a big one. You know, where do you hope to be, not only like from a personal perspective, with Roz, both on the pitch and off the pitch? Where are the plans? I know we're in a difficult season this season, but in a realistic world, where would you like to be at the end of the season with them?
Listen, I think the on the field probably isn't really my place to comment. You know, The one I'll say is I have an incredible amount of respect for the management team around there who have really taken me in and taken me under their wing in the period that I've been at the club, almost 2 years now, and they've been absolutely outstanding. Stuart Kettlewell, Stephen Ferguson, who's now the CEO. If it wasn't for those two guys, you know, my job would probably have been a heck of a lot tougher. And these guys work, you know, you watch a lot of things on the telly and you hear a lot of things on the radio and so on and so forth, you know, about managers and how the football world works. I've never seen harder working people than I've seen in our football department, from Stuart, our manager, Richie Britton, his assistant, Don Cowie, Scott Thompson, Liam Jukes, Willie Nolan, Fiona McBean, Susan Wilson, all Jim Kelly, all these guys work incredibly hard. You know, everyone is the first in and everyone is the last to leave. No stone is left unturned. And sometimes, you know, everyone wants to look at football and say it's this thing, when in actual fact, when you look a little bit deeper, it's this thing over here. You know, for me, off the field, I need to keep improving as a person. And the more I keep improving, you know, the more my area will keep improving. You know, we've not got a big team. You know, in my area of expertise, I'm an army of one in the club. You know, I don't have, you know, 15 assistants sitting on the other side of the screen. You know, every day is a challenge. Every day is unique. And, you know, for me, if I can get to the end of the season in my role with meeting my own private, you know, goals and expectations, I'll be extremely happy. You know, we've managed to tick off quite a few of the things that we wanted to do. We've launched a new website. You know, we've brought in RCFC TV. And for me, it's not always about having, you know, 20, 25, 30 things on a to-do list. It's maybe about having 10 things, but making sure you do the 10 things really, really well, and that you don't just do them. You're then looking at how do you put a phase two onto them? How do you develop them rather than just saying, right, that's them ticked, they're away, they're done, move on to the next 10. You've always got to look and say, you know, how can we develop what we've built? Because there's no point in, you know, you go to build a house, you put the foundations in the ground, but then you don't build the walls and the roofs. You know, you need to see it through. And that's probably my biggest challenge is, you know, that for me as an individual, I want to make sure that the things that I do well and I see them through. You know, and I think it's a really exciting, it's an exciting club to be at. It's an enterprising club to be at. You know, we're forward thinking. We really want to establish ourselves as a Premier League club. In my eyes, that's where I am in my role, is I want my work to reflect a Premier League club. And whether that be graphics, websites, online shops, RCFC TV, you know, we want to be represented at the best table, and the feedback so far this season is telling us that.
Oh, that's great to hear. That's great to hear. And let's say final one. I know lots of people listening to this are champing at the bit about not only when they can go and watch their team play in the stadium, but also when they can get around the country, get to new countries, get up, go visit their favourite places. And for people who have perhaps thinking, yeah, a trip to the north of Scotland would be a great place to go and have a football experience, could you just summarise briefly what sort of experience they could expect to receive in the future if they come up to catch a game at Ross County?
I like the bit that you said about a wee holiday, because I've not had one of them in a while. I'd like one of them first, please. Well, listen, the one thing I like a lot about my job is you come in every day and you know, you can have a laugh and a conversation, and it is that welcoming environment. You know, it's where there's something quite almost nostalgic about coming to Ross County, because you come into this town of Dingwall. You know, it's not the biggest town. You know, you have to come over an old railway bridge to get to the stadium. It's got a wee bit of nostalgia attached to it. You know, and the stadium is, you know, it's capacity 6,500. It's not a huge stadium. But the one thing I think that everyone gets, what feels when they get here, is as soon as you get to the top of the bridge and you can see the stadium, the buzz kicks in. And that's what fans have said to me, is, you know, the best thing about coming to a Ross County game is you get onto the bridge, you can see the stadium, you can hear the music over the tannoy, the buzz starts kicking in. You know, we're very lucky. We've got great people that work here that make the experience as a whole really, really enjoyable. You know, and to reflect on that, you know, our corporate hospitality every season is nearly sold out because it's such a great day out. You know, mm-hmm. So these friends, businesses take their clients, and our hospitality is well renowned. But again, you know, people can come to the stadium, you know, in a regular basis. They would come to the stadium, maybe come into the shop, meet friends outside. We also have a bar within the stadium for supporters called the Staggies Bar. They might go in there and then make their way to the seat. And, you know, we pride ourselves on trying to have a really good match day experience. Listen, is there people out there that are going to do it better? Yes. Is there people out there that are going to do it worse? Yes. But, you know, for us, that's probably one of the points that I've said about earlier, you know, where you're continuing to develop things. That's something that hopefully we'll continue to do, because I think before my time at the club, the foundation of creating a good fan experience on the match day was certainly in place.
Definitely. Well, Dale, it's been great to chat this evening. I've enjoyed listening to you. Many thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to join me today.
Well, Adam, you're going to have to clean your ears out after listening to that, because I don't know if I'd have been keen to listen myself. So thank you. It's been thoroughly enjoyable, Adam. Thank you.
It's been great. It's been great. And that's it, everybody. It's been another fun episode on our Welcome to Scotland podcast series. Who knows where we're going to wind up next, but I look forward to it as well. So from me, one final thing I have to admit, I did forget. Dale, I apologise. People listening, if they want to get in touch with you, where's the best place they could find you?
The local pub.
I knew you were going to say that.
No, listen, anyone that wants to get in touch with myself or the club can get in touch through our website. All the information is on the website.
Okay, great. That's great. No, finally, yeah, big thank you again to our sponsors at Ignite Football Agency for giving us the support this evening. I'm Adam from Ubrefoot 24. This has been another podcast for Shoot the Defence. Till next time, everybody, take care and goodbye.